Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. There's good news on the economic front this week that suggests potentially rising incomes, increased hiring activity, and confidence that the economy is improving. Let's see if Americans are embracing that message with Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup poll. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Dave.
Frank, let's focus first on consumer confidence.
Well, it is better than it has been, but certainly not great. It's still in negative territory. We simply can't seem to get Americans to move to the point where they're more likely to say the economy is getting better than getting worse. In fact, right now, 56% of Americans still say the U.S. economy is getting worse rather than better. And we only have about 21% who rate the U.S. economy as excellent or good. Now, I say that's better. It's certainly better than it was last fall of 2013, and way better than it was back in 2008, but not nearly as good as these same measures back before the recession, and particularly back in the dot-com boom era. So Americans are getting somewhat more confident, but still on an absolute basis, Americans are still trepidatious, I would say, about the U.S. economy.
What's driving those numbers now?
Politics, politics, politics. One wouldn't think that the views of the economy would be affected by politics, but clearly they are. You just simply can't get Republicans to say anything positive about the U.S. economy right now. 74% of Republicans say the economy is getting worse. That's contrasted with only 41% of Democrats. Democrats are in positive territory. 55% say the economy is getting better. You know, of course, it's Obama, Democrat in the White House, but Republicans, it's only 23% say it's getting better. So everybody's view of what's happening out there is extraordinarily colored by one's political orientation.
Does Gallup often find that correlation between the party in office and confidence?
We do. In fact, we saw a dramatic overnight shift in January of 2009. Republicans had been more positive, and all of a sudden, within a month, they became more negative simply because George W. Bush, a Republican, left and Barack Obama came into office. Now, we don't have this going back to the days of Andrew Jackson or Thomas Jefferson, so we don't know. But for the data points that we have, it doesn't matter who's in the White House, whoever's party it is, those partisans are going to say, hey, things are rosy, you know, happy days are here again, but people in the opposite party simply can't bring themselves to view the economy positively.
Does it change if we shift from consumer confidence to Americans' ratings of their standard of living?
Well, the ratings of standard of living are also getting better, certainly, and they don't vary quite as much because, as a rule of thumb, when we ask people about themselves, they generally are more positive than when we ask people about what's going out there across the country. And standard of living is a very personal question. How's your standard of living? So far this year, our standard of living index is plus 44 in the U.S., and that's pretty good. It was down to plus 24 in 2008, quite a bit lower, but still in positive territory. So again, Americans remain fairly positive about their standard of living. What's really interesting right now is the racial breakout. We just looked at that. Hispanics are the most positive of all. 60% of Hispanics in this country that we've interviewed so far this year have a positive standard of living index. It's 47% among African Americans, and the lowest is among whites, who have only a 40% standard of living index. So Hispanics the most positive. Part of that, Dave, is due to the fact that Hispanics skew young, and young people in America today are by far the most positive about their standard of living.
Let's look at those young people, regardless of their race or political party. If they're in school, they're likely accumulating student debt.
That's absolutely right. And we just did a big study where we interviewed Americans who had graduated from college going all the way back to 1990. And then we asked them, how much debt did you have when you graduated? And then we controlled for inflation. Then we cross-tabulated that with well-being across a number of dimensions. And no matter how you look at it, it appears to us that individuals who graduated with college with student debt over the last decade, two decades or so, have lower well-being than those who graduated from college but didn't have student debt.
Was it an absolute, or did you rate the amount of well-being as a correlate of how much student debt they incurred?
Well, we did break out the amount of debt between zero and 25,000, 25 and 50, and then 50,000 plus. And yes, if you had more debt, 50,000 plus, you have lower well-being than if you had a more modest amount of debt. We tried to figure out why. Some of it's fairly obvious. You know, you have debt. You have to be paying it back, and that keeps your attention away from a lot of other things and hurts your well-being. Some of it may be that the type of people who have debt had lower well-being to begin with, say lower-income families or more distressed college students, and that may be part of it. But we controlled for income of one's mother and some other things like that and still found that it appears that piling on the debt when you go to college is going to affect your well-being in the years thereafter.
College students, in fact, those up to age 25, are advantaged by aspects of the Affordable Care Act. What are general perceptions around the act at this point?
Oh, negative. We have found fairly consistent negative views, and the Kaiser Family Foundation poll, which tracks it monthly, came out this month and said, geez, it's actually worse than ever. In other words, it's the most negative perception, most unfavorable view of the Affordable Care Act that they had measured in all of their tracking. And that's despite the fact, Dave, that the exchanges produced a significant drop in the rate of the uninsured in this country. They were successful, and we just recently looked at it by state, and the states who had implemented their own exchanges and expanded the income eligibility levels on Medicaid actually had the lowest drops in the rate of the uninsured. So the Affordable Care Act certainly has accomplished its goal to some degree, that is to reduce the number of uninsured, but the popularity of the act remains very negative.
Let's focus on the tri-state area.
Delaware is spectacularly good in terms of a drop in the uninsured. It is the only one of the three states, Dave, that did what I mentioned a moment ago, both had a state exchange and expanded Medicaid levels. Pennsylvania and New Jersey, as we know, did not implement their own state exchanges. And so Delaware saw one of the biggest drops that we've seen in the rate of the uninsured. It's a little smaller sample, so we're not absolutely sure of the exact numbers, but the rate of the uninsured dropped by about 7 points, it looks like to us, in Delaware, which puts it up there with Arkansas and Kentucky as one of the three states with the biggest drop in the rate of the uninsured of any state that we looked at. Pennsylvania and New Jersey had modest drops in the uninsured. Pennsylvania, by our estimates, the uninsured from last year to the first half of this year dropped by about a point. And in New Jersey, the rate of the uninsured dropped by about 3 percentage points.
So, Frank, it seems that politics plays a part in this as well.
It does. Politics is part of everything. But obviously, states which made a decision to go along with the Affordable Care Act in the sense of setting up a state exchange and also expanding Medicaid eligibility limits were those who politically felt that was appropriate to do. Not all of these states necessarily had Democratic governors, but that was a big indicator. And of course, New Jersey and Pennsylvania have Republican governors. And for that reason, and perhaps others, neither of those two states set up their own state exchange. Delaware did.
Thanks, Frank.
You bet, Dave.
Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup Poll. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.